From Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschel in another Dr. Christian story called The Cornerstone, brought to you by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Your barber will tell you that dry hair is just about the most prevalent of all scalp complaints. If your scalp and hair are dry, there are three important things to remember. First, limit your shampoos to one a week. Second, massage your scalp regularly to stimulate the action of the oil glands. Third, pick a tonic that helps counteract dryness. Vaseline Hair Tonic is ideal for your use. It contains no alcohol and absolutely has no drying effect. Before every shampoo, rub plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic on the scalp. This massage helps stimulate the circulation and frees your scalp of loose dandruff scales, and at the same time, supplements the natural scalp oils. Every morning when you comb your hair, use a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic on the comb. This helps keep unruly hair neat, increases its sheen and luster. Start tomorrow to condition your hair with Vaseline Hair Tonic. It comes in shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents. As the curtain goes up now on tonight's drama, we find Dr. Christian putting on the old blue muffler preparatory to starting out on his afternoon rounds. Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, who is busily typing, looks up from her work.
Dr. Christian, this is a swell speech, but...
But what, Judy?
Not funny enough.
Funny? Well, now, what's funny about laying the cornerstone of a new hospital?
Well, that's just it. It's serious business. Something you've dreamed about for years. Joe Perino has put up half his fortune to make your dream a practical reality. And what will the rest of the folks around here contribute? Pious looks.
Well, most of the people haven't got much.
They've got plenty of gimmies, I notice.
You're perfectly right, Judy. Well, there really is no reason why in the world Joe Perino should give the people of this town a hospital.
Of course not. They take the whole thing for granted. And they shouldn't. They should do something themselves to...
Even the poor?
Especially the poor. They're the ones who'll benefit most. They should give a penny. A penny, just on principle. A Thanksgiving penny to the hospital fund.
Well, that's a fine idea, Judy, but I don't see how being funny in the dedication speech will make people give.
You can't laugh with your hands in your pockets, can you? Not a real belly laugh.
Judy.
I'm just using a good medical word, Doctor.
Well, making people laugh is hardly my strong point, Judy.
Just tell them some of the things your patients say to you.
What, for instance?
Well, let me see. How about the story of Sam Perkins and the horse?
Oh, yes. Let me see if I can recall that one. It was so long ago that...
Let's see. Sam Gilbert's mare died that he set so much store by.
Oh, yes. So Fred Perkins...
Our local horse trader.
Fred Perkins was commiserating with him. Sam, he says, I see your mare died.
Yep, day before yesterday. Died of old age.
I've got a nice little horse here that I think you'd like, Sam. Want to look over?
Well, I might. Trot her out. No harm in looking.
There she be, Sam.
So Sam looked her all over. Saw that her teeth had been filed down and her hoofs pared off. Her coat curried and shining. So he said to Fred,
Fred, she looks pretty good. How old is she?
And Sam said,
Well, Fred, you see, this mare belonged to Ed Fettle, and he says she's 16, 17 years old. But you know Ed Fettle. He's such a gull-darn liar, she might only be 7 or 8.
Oh, I like that one. Uh-oh, it's Mrs. Clemens. I saw her coming down the street.
Oh, well, I might as well take off the muffler, then.
Her son Freddie's with her.
I'll go in my private office. You can send him in there.
All right. Hello, Mrs. Clemens.
Hello, Judy. Doctor in?
Yes, he is. Hello, Freddie.
Hello.
I want to speak to Dr. Christian. Alone.
All right, you can go right in. I'll amuse Freddie.
Come in, Helen, come in. What can I do for you?
It's Freddie again, Doctor.
What's wrong with Freddie now?
It's the way he acts toward his father and me.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, he's so secretive. He won't tell us anything. He doesn't get home from school till so late. He gets in just in time for supper, and then he just sits at the table without saying a word.
How does he eat?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with his appetite. But his attitude toward us worries both Ed and me frightfully.
Have you had any quarrels at home lately?
Just about his staying away. But the more we say, the worse he acts.
How old is Freddy, Mrs. Clemens? About 14?
Yes. He was 14 the first of this month.
Oh, that explains a lot.
What do you mean, Doctor?
Your boy's growing up, Mrs. Clemens.
Growing up? But Dr. Christian, he's still just a baby.
That's just why he wants to assert himself. To prove to you he's not a baby.
But I can't just let him do as he pleases at his age.
No, of course not. But you must try to understand that he's feeling his first impulse to break a little from home ties, to find interest of his own, apart from you and his father.
But I mustn't let my child grow away from me.
But he doesn't want to be guided any longer, don't you see? He wants to explore, find things out for himself.
Well, the whole thing has got me down, I must admit. I wish you'd talk to him.
Suppose you send him in now.
All right.
Freddy! Will you come in here a minute?
Come in, darling.
I'm not sick, Mom. I don't know why you had to bring me over here.
Dr. Christian wants to speak to you, Freddy.
And please don't call me Freddy. My name's Fred.
Sit down, Fred. I've got something I want to show you.
I'll run along out and talk to Judy. She has a recipe I want to ask her about.
Recipe?
What's that?
I'll bet she didn't have any recipe she wanted to ask Judy about at all.
Well, Judy's got some good ones.
She just wanted to get out of the room so you could talk to me alone.
There's nothing wrong in that, is there, Freddy? Fred?
Yeah, I'll bet you haven't got anything to show me either.
Oh, yes, I have.
What?
This book here.
Oh, a book.
Yes. I ran across it at the library.
I see plenty of books in school.
Now, I'll wait till you haven't seen anything like this.
What is it?
Ship models and how to build them.
Ship models?
Yep. Look at these.
What are those things, maps?
They're blueprints.
Blueprints?
If you follow the plans in this book, you can build any kind of a ship model you want. Oh, I might even try one myself.
Gee.
See? There's one of the Constitution. Old Ironsides, they called her.
Say, Dr. Christian, you haven't got a book like this about airplanes, have you?
Airplanes?
Yeah, with blueprints telling you how to build them.
I know, Fred, I haven't.
Well, maybe I could get one at the library.
I didn't know you were so interested in planes.
Why, sure I am. No, I've been up lots of times.
You have? Where?
At the old airport. Alex Skinner takes me up.
He does?
But sure. He's teaching me how to fly.
But that plane of Alex is very old. I should think it would be very dangerous.
Not with him at the controls. He can make a 3-point landing with that old crate of his so you don't even know you've touched the ground.
You have learned a lot about flying, haven't you?
You bet. Well, I'm going to be an aviator someday myself. Say, how'd you like to go up with us, Dr. Christian?
Well, maybe. Sometime.
Well, come on out with me this afternoon. Now, I'll bet Alec would take us up.
I'm pretty busy now.
Oh, you could close the office for a little while.
I'm afraid not today, Fred.
Oh, that's right. I guess we couldn't go anyway. I forgot Mom was still here.
Mrs. Clemens says she has to leave, and could she see you a moment, Dr. Christian, before she goes?
Oh, yes. Ask her to come in here, Judy.
Very well.
Oh, I guess I'd better be going, Dr. Christian.
Oh, wait a minute, Fred.
Oh, no, I've got to go. But thanks for showing me the book. You know, I think you're a regular guy.
Freddy, where are you going?
Fred!
There. Now do you see what I mean? The way he rushed past me. Well, hardly noticed me at all.
Yes, I see.
What did you find out, Dr. Christian? Did Freddy talk to you?
Yes. Yes, he talked to me.
About us? His father and me?
No. No, we talked about airplanes.
Has he been hanging around that airport again? After Ed and I strictly forbade his going there?
I've never seen such enthusiasm.
So that's why he's kept quiet. Or run off when I ask him where he's been.
At least he hasn't lied to you.
Those planes out there are rattle traps. Suppose one of those pilots offered to take Freddy up someday. He'd accept. Oh, I know he would. And you can't tell what might happen.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, what am I going to do, Doctor?
Do? You're either going to find that boy not an interest in life, or you're going to assign yourself to having a transatlantic flyer in your family.
Ellen.
Why, Ed, you're home early.
Yes, things were kind of slow down at the office.
Ed Clemens, you look tired.
Yes, I thought I'd knock off and take a nap before supper.
Lie down here on the sofa.
Where's Freddie?
Why, I don't know. He hasn't come home from school yet.
It's nearly 5 o'clock.
He should have been home long ago.
Maybe he's out back in the tool shed.
No, I looked there.
I thought he was going to fix it over into a clubhouse.
No, I told him he could, after Dr. Christian suggested we find him another interest. But he didn't seem very excited about it.
He hasn't done a thing to it that I can see.
Ed, I'm worried. I found this in his room this morning.
What is it?
A library book.
Model flying machines and how to build them.
He'd hidden it under his mattress. I found it when I was making up the bed.
Helen, do you think that...
He's been going out to that airport again. I'll bet anything in the world he has.
Well, we can soon find out.
Ed, where are you going?
Get your hat and coat. I'll get the car out of the garage.
What are you going to do?
We're going to drive out to the flying field and find out for ourselves.
There's no one in the airport office, Ed.
There must be someone in charge here.
Oh, the place is locked. There aren't any planes around.
They're closed up for the night, I guess.
At least we can be satisfied that Freddie isn't around here anywhere.
Look, a plane.
Where?
There. See the lights?
It's coming this way.
It's headed for the field.
Is it going to land here?
It looks that way. It seems to be coming down.
Oh, it's probably Alex Skinner in that old crate of his.
Ed, can you see who's in it?
Yes, Helen. I can see. I can see quite well that there are two people in that plane, and one of them's your son, Fred.
Oh. There we are, friend. Back on terra firma.
Gee, Alec, I made a good landing, didn't I?
Almost as good as if you'd done it yourself, eh, Fred?
Freddie!
What's that?
Sounded like someone calling you.
Freddie! Freddie! Get out of that plane this minute.
Hey, look, Alec, it's Mom and Dad.
Get out of that plane, young man.
Hey, Dad, you see the 3-point landing I made?
That's nothing to the 3-point landing you're going to make when I get you home.
Oh, Freddie, my baby. Are you safe?
Aw, gee whiz, Mom. You don't have Alec thinking I'm a 2-year-old or something.
Well, the kid's great, Mr. Clemens. Well, you ought to be proud of him. Got a knack for flying that some pilots would give their eye teeth for.
I'm not asking your opinion, Alex.
Don't blame Alec, Dad. He didn't know I wasn't supposed to be out here.
Well, he knows now.
The idea. Taking a child up in that rattle trap.
I'm not a child. And this isn't a rattle trap. One of the best planes in the country.
Get out of that plane and come along with me.
Oh, gee, Dad.
Did you hear what I said?
You better go along, Fred.
Okay.
I don't want you to ever take Freddie up in a plane again, Alec.
Dad.
I mean it. He's much too young for such hijinks.
I'm not, Dad. I can fly almost as good as Alec.
And I don't want him hanging around here either. If you see him, Alec, I want you to send him home.
Very well, Mr. Clemens.
Oh, no, Dad, please. Please, just let me come out here sometimes and watch. I won't go up again, I promise.
Are you going to come along with me quietly, or will I have to turn you over my knee right here?
I'm not a baby, and you can't treat me like one.
Come along with me. I'm not going to argue with you anymore.
Darn you anyway. I'll show you. Then you'll be sorry for the way you treated me.
We have a brief intermission period now, and there's a visitor in the studio tonight with a story that I know will interest you. I'm going to ask her to step up to the microphone now while we're waiting for the program to continue.
I work in a big department store, and I love it. But just a few weeks ago, I was ready to quit. My feet would ache and burn so by closing time, it was all I could do not to sit down in the middle of the aisle and bawl. The older girl said, "You've got to treat your feet right in this sort of a job. Tonight, take a warm foot bath. Then massage them well with Vaseline jelly." And I did. I still can't get over the wonderful way Vaseline jelly soothes tired feet. Now I wouldn't think of going to bed without massaging my feet with it. And by the way, if you have calluses or pump bumps, Vaseline jelly helps soften them, too.
Thank you. I think your tip about the care of the feet is just as good advice for tired shoppers as it is for tired salespeople, don't you? Vaseline jelly is a wonderful help in dozens of skin problems because it does three things. It softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural oils. It forms a protective film that helps keep infection out, and it promotes healing. Get a jar or a tube at your druggist tomorrow and find out for yourself how many ways Vaseline jelly can help you and your family. We return you now to Gene Herschel's Dr. Christian story. After his forbidden trip aloft in the airplane with Alex Skinner, Freddie Clemens spent the next day in solitary state in his room as punishment. Late in the afternoon, it got too much for Helen Clemens, his mother, and she interceded for Freddie's release.
Ed.
Well?
Can't we let Freddie come down out of his room now? He's been up there all day.
Oh, I guess so.
He's been punished enough for last night.
I'll call him.
Freddie. Freddie, you can come down now.
Freddie?
Freddie, I said you can come down now.
Freddie! Freddie, answer your father.
What a stubborn little devil he is.
I'll go up and get him. Freddie, didn't you hear? Your father says you can come down now. Freddie! Freddie! Where are you? Oh, my Lord! Ed! Ed! Come here!
Just a moment till I answer the door. Oh, hello, Alec.
Miss Clemens.
Is that you, Alec?
Yes, Mrs. Clemens. Is Freddie home?
Yes, he's upstairs.
No, Freddie's not here. His window's open, and he's gone.
I knew it.
What do you mean? What's happened?
One of the planes at the flying field is missing, too.
Which one is it?
Oh, mine, the one I was teaching Freddie to fly.
No. 14 hours and no work.
Oh, you must be frozen. Come over by the fire and get warm. I'll make you some hot coffee.
I can't conceive of why they haven't found a trace of that boy.
Or the plane either.
I'm afraid, Judy. I'm afraid.
Oh, don't. Don't let's think about it. I'm sure he'll be found.
Now that it's daylight, perhaps they'll be able to do more. Their hometown's searching.
How's Mrs. Clemens?
Oh, she went all to pieces, of course. I got her to bed and gave her something to quiet her.
Poor soul. And Mr. Clemens?
He's out looking. He was going to comb the game preserves as soon as it got light enough.
I've got it. Dr. Christian's office. Yes? Yes. I see. About an hour ago, huh? Yes, I'll tell him.
What is it, Judy?
They found Alex Skinner's plane.
And a boy?
Crashed in the field in the game preserve.
Oh, but what about the boy?
The plane was empty when we reached it. No one has seen the boy. Dr. Christian.
Oh, Judy, I didn't know you were still in the office.
Yes. I wanted to finish typing those changes you made in your speech.
Oh, thank you, Judy.
Well, I'll run along now. It's almost 6:30.
No, I'm going to stay on for a little while here and work. I want to look over these changes.
Oh, let the speech go, Dr. Christian. Get some rest. You were up all night.
Well, it'll take my mind off Friday to work on the speech. No more news, of course.
No, not a thing. His disappearance is a complete mystery.
His parents are just crazy.
I know. And Thanksgiving only a few days away.
Do you suppose that boy was hurt and just crawled away somewhere?
Oh, they would have found him by now. I'm sure he's all right. He simply run away.
Oh, I think I'd better go back and help with the search.
You'll do nothing of the kind now. You mustn't take everybody's troubles on your shoulders. He'll call you if you need it.
Well, all right, Judy. I'll concentrate on the speech and wait for news.
Fine. I'll let you know if I hear anything. Good night.
Good night, Judy. On this foundation, on this cornerstone, rises a dream. A dream of granite and steel. A house of mercy for all. My one ambition will be realized.
Dr. Christian!
Who is it? Who is there?
It's me, Dr. Christian. Open the window.
Freddie Clemens.
Open the window, quick.
Wait.
Well, I can climb over, all right.
Freddie, so you were hiding out. For the fright you gave us.
Close the window, quick.
Now, young man, first we'll call your parents. Then you can tell me all what all the mystery's about.
Don't, Dr. Christian. Let me explain first.
Oh, but your parents are half crazy with fear.
See? They think I'm a baby and can't take care of myself.
Give me Cedar 278.
Don't. Please don't call them.
Freddie, you're shivering.
I've been standing out there a long time waiting for Judy to go.
Oh, you needn't be afraid of Judy.
Well, I don't want any women mixed up in this. Well, you're the only one I can trust.
I see. Operator. Never mind that number. I'll call later. Is that blood I see on your shirt, Fred?
Yeah, I hurt my shoulder when the plane crashed. I must have bumped it again crawling in the window.
Then you were on that plane.
Sure. And I wouldn't have crashed it either if it hadn't got dark. I never tried to fly at night before.
Let me take a look at that shoulder.
That doesn't hurt much. I thought I'd better have you look at it before I started out again.
Take your shirt off, will you, so I can see that wound. That's it. So you were going to run away again,
Sure I am.
Stand still now. This may hurt a little.
You don't think I'd hang around here, do you? Where everybody treats me like a baby?
No, I don't treat you like a baby. Fred?
Yeah. Well, that's different. Well, we've always been able to talk man to man. Ow!
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred.
That's all right. It didn't hurt.
You bruised that shoulder pretty badly.
It's nothing much.
I think I'd better put a dressing on it.
Well, I haven't got much time, Dr. Christian.
It won't take long.
Okay.
Where have you been hiding since last night?
In the woods.
There. You can put your shirt on now.
Gee, thanks, Dr. Christian. Hey, you're a regular guy.
Well, I suppose you want to be on your way now.
Yeah, I want to get out of town while it's still dark.
Well, that's too bad. I was just thinking your coming here tonight was providential.
Why?
Because there's something you can help me with, if you will.
Me? Help you?
Yes, it's about my speech. You know, we are laying the cornerstone for the new hospital Thanksgiving morning.
Well, what does that mean, the cornerstone?
It means the foundation is completed. Now work on the actual building will be started.
Oh.
If you've got a minute, Fred, I'd like to ask your advice on a couple of things.
Well, I guess I ought to be able to do that. After all you've done for me.
Well, tell me what you think of this idea. You see, Fred, in my speech, I've compared the cornerstone to the basic quality. The most important quality I think all good and noble lives possess.
Isn't that honesty? That's what we learn in school.
Honesty? Yes. Yes, but much more than that, Freddy. I've called it personal integrity. To me, that is the cornerstone in character.
Personal integrity? What does that mean?
Honesty with oneself in all things. Clear vision, patience, and humility.
I've always tried to be honest, Dr. Christian.
I know you have, Fred.
Well, how do you know?
Because you refused to lie to your parents about the flying field. You were wrong to disobey them, but you didn't lie.
Clear vision. You've got to have that for flying.
Yes, and for living too, Fred. Just about the same kind. You've got to be able to look ahead, to see what effect what you're doing at the moment will have on yourself and others.
You mean like my running away and taking the plane?
Yes, that's an example. It seemed all right at the time. You were proving something to them, something they may not have realized, that you were growing up, that you weren't a baby any longer.
Well, I had to show them, Dr. Christian.
I know, Fred. But if you'd looked ahead, you'd see that you could have proved them the same thing in a much, much better way. Better for you and for them.
You mean by staying home, going to school, and not going out to the flying field anymore?
That's it. Exactly.
Well, but how could that have?
Well, I've convinced them you were really serious about flying. That you want to make it your life's work. Right now, they think it's just a passing fancy, like football or collecting stamps.
Well, you think if I studied hard and showed them that I was really serious, that I wanted to be an aviator more than anything else in the world, they'd believe me?
I know they would.
Gee,
You see, it doesn't take character to run away from responsibility the way you're going tonight. It takes character to stay, to face your problems and see them through intelligently.
I could only go back now and show them.
Why can't you?
Well, I've crashed the plane. I failed. They'll think I'm more of a baby than ever if I go home now.
It'll prove to them you are a man.
Well, how?
It takes a man to admit defeat. And it gives him a newer, stronger foundation on which to start building again.
What do you think they'll want me back after all the trouble I've caused them?
Oh, I think they will.
You do?
There's only one way of finding out.
Okay, Dr. Christian, let's go home.
Okay, Fred, let's. Oh, but wait. There's just one more thing I'd like to tell you.
What is it, Dr. Christian?
It's something from my speech. It's something I read years ago. It's helped me a lot. I'd like you to remember it, always.
I will, Dr. Christian.
It's something Henry Thoreau once wrote. He said, "If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. There's where they should be. Now put foundations under them." You have your dreams, Freddy, and I have mine. You laid your cornerstone tonight. Thanksgiving Day, I lay mine.
You have been listening to Gene Herschelt in the Dr. Christian story, The Cornerstone. We'll introduce the cast in a moment, and Mr. Herschelt will tell you something about next week's story. Whenever your feet are tired, don't forget our suggestion of a warm foot bath and a 2-minute massage with Vaseline jelly. It is one of the most soothing preparations you can buy, and it is so pure you can use it for all minor skin irritations. Manufactured to an exacting standard, sterilized in the process of manufacture, and packed in sterilized containers, it is the finest product of its kind that can be made. Yet it costs only 10 cents a jar. Because Vaseline jelly is so wonderful for the skin, it has been made the base of several other products that are family standbys. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. Ask for them by name and look for the Vaseline trademark when you buy. It is your guarantee of purity. Now I know you want to hear the names of the players in tonight's drama. Rosemary DeCamp played Judy Price as usual. Lester Jay played the boy Freddie Clemens. Lucille LaPointe was the mother, Helen Clemens. Joseph Forte was the father, Ed Clemens. And the aviator, Alec, was played by James Eagles. And now we present our star, Gene Herschelt, as Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, will you tip us off to next week's story?
Well, the story we've chosen to tell you next Tuesday night is called The Seeing Eye. Does that call anything to your mind off?
Of course, those marvelous guide dogs who give their lives to the service of the blind.
That's right. And our story concerns a young girl here in Riversend whose broken life was mended with the help of one of those wonderful dogs. It's a story I'm sure you'll all love. Until next Tuesday, then, I'll say good night.
Don't fail to be in your armchairs by the radio next Tuesday night at this hour to hear Gene Herschelt in another Dr. Christian story called The Seeing Eye. Gloria Holden, rising young screen luminary, will have the feminine lead, the blind girl whom Dr. Christian just told you about. Be sure to listen and tell your friends to listen. And see Gene Herschelt in the new Quintuplets picture, Five of a Kind, produced by 20th Century Fox, to whom we are indebted for the services of Gene Herschelt on this program. Your announcer is Arthur Gilmore. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.